this is Reverend Irvin speaking, and I'm greeting you and telling you once again how happy we are that we can join you for this brief time of shared devotion and of worship. These are hot summer days. Indeed, during this week we will be celebrating the birth of our nation, and we hope that we can have time to reflect on the meaning of that a little. We also hope that we can have time to reflect on the meaning of our relationship to God through Jesus Christ. We share the liturgy and meditation and music of a communion service with you this week. Next week you'll be listening to a sermon by Marlon Mercer from Emerson, a lay speaker in our district. I will be on vacation for about 10 days. I'm looking forward to that, and hope to come back a little more refreshed and relaxed. So I hope you have a good week, and I hope God blesses you. Almighty God, it is fitting that we should continually and in every way acknowledge you as our Creator, our Maker, and that we should seek to fulfill the purpose for which you have given us life. We Christians have special reason for doing this, for revering you, because we believe that you have shown yourself to us in Jesus Christ. We believe that the life of your people in ancient Israel was a preparation for his coming. We believe that his life, that is, the life of our Lord, was not only the effort, the achievement of man, but the very presence and action of your holy self. Thank you, God, for your generous provision for your world in and through Jesus Christ. Remembering this, we prepare to celebrate this supper once again. As we eat and drink, do for us all that you have promised. Bring to us that fullness of life. Bring to us those richness of the Spirit which will keep us and hold us and give our life that power and that quality which we in our finer moments visualize it can have. Allow us to share in the life generously, in your life which was so generously given to the world. And may all men come to know you through Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, as we continue to share this time together, we impart a depth of meaning to these common elements before us that will cause us to transcend the casual and the everyday and to see uncommon visions and inspirations. Use these elements as vehicles for your grace, even as you use Jesus as an instrument of your love. Let us become as available to you as he is to us. Help us, our Father, as we continue and as we strive to live the Christian life. Or perhaps we ought to ask that you will help us to make a start in living the Christ-like experience. May this time of communion, this time of celebration, be one of those times when we clearly say in our heart of hearts, yes to Jesus Christ. When we once again confess him to be our Lord and Master, and when we once again say that we will follow him and seek to serve him. Now, Lord, each of us has special things in our hearts, burdens placed there because of our compassion and love for others, or because of the activity of your Spirit. As we wait in a few silent moments, listen to those inner voices of our hearts and spirits. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God's many mercies to us, I make this appeal to you. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him. When Jesus held this last love feast with His disciples, He said that His body and blood were to be sacrificed for the remission of sin. The communion service is a memorial to Jesus, who offered Himself as a sacrifice. But it's not really a memorial to His death. It rather is a memorial to His life. And this is one of the more significant of the Christian celebrations. Even though it's a symbolic celebration, but there was nothing symbolic about Christ's sacrifice. You see, it was made by a specific man, Jesus, in a specific place on Golgotha, at a specific time in history. And so when we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are remembering something very specific. A death, a specific death, a specific person. And then there's another specific thing about these symbols of bread and grape juice, or at least that they convey to us, that Jesus made a free will choice when He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." All of this is to get to what we mean by sacrifice. The term sacrifice comes from two Latin words that mean the act of giving something to God. Sacrifice, then, at least in the Christian context, means to give something to God. And by participating symbolically in Christ's sacrifice, hopefully we shall be strengthened to offer ourselves to God in new ways and in a deeper fashion. But you won't make a sacrifice to God of yourself or of anything you are or have unless you, like Jesus, make a decision to do so. The Lord tells us to take up His cross and follow Him. He does not make the decision easy. You cannot make a sacrifice for Jesus Christ unless you decide to. Now, I know that sounds like simple or double talk or something. But how many people I run across almost daily who cry and desire seemingly the benefits and the fullness of the Christian life and of the Spirit of God in their lives, but they don't make a decision to choose that. Christ sacrificed that I might know the love of God. Yes, that's true. But I can't know that love of God until I make a decision in my own life to sacrifice something so that I can come to understand it. I have to decide. When we take communion, I hope that this morning you will be making some decisions, at least thinking about decisions. In humility and contemplation and the possibility of making a decision for Christ, I suppose are really the only proper motivations by which we can come, not only to this sacrament, but to life itself, as viewed from God's perspective. Paul tells us that we ought to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. It is the word living That is the key to what Paul means to tell us. We can make a worthy sacrifice to God because Christ lives in us. And if we give our bodies to God, we are also giving Christ back to God. The sacrifice of our lives is a living sacrifice only because Christ lives in us. If we only give time and labor to our vocation, then we're not making a sacrifice. If all we earn for our family is security, if all we put in the collection plate on Sunday morning is money, then our sacrifice is only half-hearted. We have something more to give than just the physical body and all that that implies. We have Christ within us. And because this is true, we give more than vocation and time. We give love. We give compassion as well in whatever we do. If we have Christ within us, we place Him with our money in the offering. We take Him with us when we make a call on a sick person. We take Him with us when we ponder the meaning of some rumor or gossip that we may have heard. And we have this gift of Christ with us because God raised Christ from the dead to give us a living gift, not a dead Christ, but a living one. You see, Paul says that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And that's precisely what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Presented the body, the living, the vital, the spirit-filled body of Jesus Christ to us. And strangely, in the providence, the ways of God, He wants us to recommit that to Him and that become our sacrifice. So today, when we receive Christ through this communion, let us remember these words of Paul. So then, my brothers, because of God's mercies to us, I make this appeal to you. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him. Remember, no sacrifice is made without a decision to do so. Remember, the very meaning of sacrifice is to give something to God. And remember, the apostle says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, hear us as we pray. Take the faltering and stumbling words, turn them into songs. So you will help us to give to God the praise we want to give. Holy Spirit, speak to us as we pray. Bring merciful and forgiving words today from God the Father. So you will help us to find in Him the peace we need to find. Holy Spirit, come to us today. Tell of the dying and rising of Christ the Lord and give us joy. So you will help us to live for God the life we ought to live. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, after issuing the invitation, we'd like to have the ushers, the communion stewards, and those in the chancel area come and be the first to be served. Hear then the invitation to communion. You that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in His holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Will those people come at this time?
Jesus took bread and gave it to His disciples and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat and feed on Him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving." Then Jesus took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to his disciples and said, "This wine is a symbol of the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sin. Take and drink the oil and be thankful." Now rise and go in peace, and in the peace of God be with you. You should get 2 men in the aisle or something, and there's not enough room at the rail. You'll just wait or be seated, and you can be served at a later time.